Log Talk Radio. Thank you for calling Life, Love in Full Enlightenment. Tonight we have with me Sky Vaughn, Janet Hurd, and Michelle Grogan is going to be checking in, having some technical difficulties at the morning, and me, Minister Dupree Aldridge. How's everyone tonight? We'll be speaking about the three stooges of a relationship that won't leave you laughing. We're talking about forms of relationships that can cause post-traumatic stress disorder. It's just that serious and that deep. So we're going to be talking about that tonight because I've been getting a lot of hits with regard to being in relationships with people that are not supportive, people that tend to behave in a very narcissistic way. And one of the big ones were them not really knowing who the person was that they were dating, because every day they got somebody different. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. So, again, the topic is the three stooges of a relationship that won't leave you laughing. This is how we call. Welcome to everyone, and everyone is welcome to make comments and to join in. Just know that your phones and your mics will be on your phone if you are going to be turning on a television or making a lot of noise while you're listening in. Just please mute your phone. Whenever you want to talk, if you could give us either your name, a nickname you want to be called by, or the area code and the last four digits of your number will suffice. This is a safe space, and let's just get this jumping. How's everybody doing tonight? Janet, my co-host, you guys here?
Oh,
how
are
you
doing? Janet is
doing
wonderful.
Great. Excellent. So we're talking about selfish people, narcissistic people, people that don't have any true self-identity, the mimickers, and people who are just mean in relationships and the trauma that it causes their partners that are in the relationship. So I'm going to open the floor up a little to my co-hosts, and let's start off by talking about some of the things that can happen when you're in a relationship with someone who's narcissistic.
I think for me, and this is A. Michelle, for me, the most frustrating thing about being in a relationship with someone that's narcissistic, they don't see how everything is just not about them. And that's pretty selfish, because when you're in a relationship, it's two people, so it has to be about two people and not just about one person.
Okay, that's true. Anyone else? Any stories out there?
Oh, I got several, but I'll give you one. This is Janet. Well, I think when it comes to people who are narcissistic, in my experience, it always came about in the way of, I mean, everything started off wonderful. I mean, they love you, they praise you. It's like, oh, it's just like, you know, you're their everything. You're, you know, the best thing that ever happened to them. I mean, you know, you go through the whole nine yards. You're thinking, okay, you know, I mean, when it comes down to stuff like that, I kind of like take it with a grain of salt sometimes, because I know in the beginning stage of any relationship, that's how it is. You know, you're kind of like in that state of, you know, bliss. You know, but as time go on, then you start to see other sides to the person, which is probably more so them than the former part of them. Once they get comfortable with you, they begin to start seeing things, or the very things that they used to love so much about you, all of a sudden, you know, it's like a problem or issue. I think the thing when it comes to narcissists, people, it's like they have this way about them where they only can give so much of themselves on an emotional part. In my experience, it's like they want you to come out of yourself, out of your comfort zone, to be totally everything that they want you to be to them, but then they have limitations. They don't really feel a whole lot of emotions, even though they'll say that I love you or I care about you or whatever the case like that. You know, it's like they can do things and they are not affected by the outcome of it, because they're like detached from the reality of I hurt you or I made you feel bad. But at the same time, you know, they will have an issue or have a problem or something that you may have said or done that they felt, you know, wasn't right. And then they want to get all of this emotional support or whatever from you, and they feed off of that. And actually, they just feed it off of your energy. They suck in all of that juice, that life out of you, all of the whatever you're giving to them, because that's how they survive. Narcissistic people, they survive off of your emotions and your feeling of guilt and all of that stuff. It makes them feel some kind of way. Many times it makes them feel, you know, a powerful way to think that, okay, I'm superior over this person. You know, they have a power struggle many times, not all the time, but sometimes they do. They can do you wrong, and like I said, they can never, don't even feel bad about it. But on the flip side, when it's you that did something, you know, it's just like totally different. You know, it's everything is your fault. You're an idiot. You're stupid. They'll become very demeaning, you know, very insulting towards you. Everything that you do is not right, and, you know, whatever. That's, you know, it gets really bad, because it can go from you to everybody else. Everybody is, you know, strange but them. That's just the beginning stages of it. I can go on, but I won't.
Right. And narcissism, sometimes people will say that there's really not a lot of difference between narcissism and selfishness. But yes, there is, because you can be selfish and not be narcissistic. But a narcissist will do things like, if they ask you how your day was, you won't get to answer it. You know, how was your day? Well, my day was such and 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 such. And then when you say, well, you know, my day was, they start rolling their eyes back and they can't focus anymore, and it's not really important to them. You know, they're not interested in hearing it because it's not about them. And they go as far as if you're having a good day and they're not having a good day, you cannot show that you're having a good day, because if they're not having a good day, then no one can have a good day, because everything is truly and really about them. And as confident and all put together that they may seem, they still suffer from low self-esteem and low self-worth, because that's why they're overly talking about themselves and overly raising themselves up, because they still suffer from a form of low self-esteem, and and self-worth. And so, and that's their mechanism of making themselves feel better by, you know, saying that they are better, and not only better, but better than everyone and everything. So for those of you that are in those types of relationships, I just want to let you know that it takes a lot of work for a narcissist to stop being narcissistic, and many of them cannot. So if you're hoping that they're going to stop it and their behavior is really driving you into a state of depression and stress, I suggest that you start working on getting out of that relationship, because if they're not seeking help and they don't think they need it, you're the problem, not them. You're going to be in for an extremely rugged and bumpy ride, and they're never going to come off of thinking about them. It's not just that they think about themselves first. They simply only think about themselves. And so, and then there's the selfish person in the relationship where, you know, I once was in a relationship with someone where whatever it was that they had to do, we had to be there. We couldn't miss it. It was extremely important that we show up, so on and so forth. But whenever there was something that I had to do, there was always a reason or excuse, either why they couldn't come or why we couldn't go. And me being who I am, I just go alone. Because I don't have anything to do, and so therefore I'm going to do what it is that I had planned to do. You know, I do all of your stuff, and right now it doesn't matter to me if you're not going to come. I'll deal with that when I get back from the situation, because I'm going to be migrating out of this relationship, because, this is not just about you. So is anyone out there listening have been in any kind of selfish relationships? And have any questions or any comments that they may want to throw out? Guys, I know you're out there.
And that's something else that you said, too, and it is very true. One thing for sure, that narcissistic people, they don't think anything's wrong with them. They will think something is wrong with you. They don't think they need help, which is why most people, even on the professional sense, will tell you that you can never get them to see anyone or to talk to anyone on a professional level because they don't think anything is wrong with them. They think they're
right.
Perfectly fine. You know, so it's
right.
Hard to, you can't say that they're going to change. They probably will never change because to them, they're not the issue. They're not the problem. You are.
Right.
So until you realize that and understand that, okay, this person is not going to change. There's always hope when a person can see their flaws and see their mistakes and then want to rectify them. But if you're dealing with someone who have those issues and they're not willing to change because they don't feel like there's nothing wrong with them, it's best that you get a clue and either love yourself and move around. Otherwise, you got two choices. You can either stay and be miserable and go through that, or you can just say, you know what, I gotta cut this off. You know, doesn't make you a bad person or whatever. It just makes you a smart one because you have to look out for yourself.
Well, yeah, you're right. And relationships require engagement from all directions. And when you are not engaging on all levels and engaging from all directions, you know, you have a one-way kind of thing going on, and that's almost like a sense of abandonment in that relationship because there is no consideration for you that you're even there. You know, everything is literally about them. And if you walked out tomorrow and you were gone for a couple of hours, it would never think anything of it. It might be some of them. It might be a minute before they even realize you're gone, because you know it's not affecting them because you know it's not about them. So. So you really, and it can be a very stressful thing. Trauma is trauma, whether it's physical trauma, emotional trauma, and people don't understand that they can go through PTSD. Being in a relationship without there being physical abuse. But when you have someone constantly ignoring you, or constantly putting you down, or constantly behaving as if there is nothing about you or your part of being in this relationship that is of any importance, you can go through traumatic stress. And that's so far from being in a healthy relationship that, you know, it starts, people start to feel bad. They start to go in depression, sleep more, stop eating or start overeating or just kind of put themselves away in a room so, you know, they don't have to deal with it with a narcissist. You can't do that because they need to be entertained by somebody because somebody needs to tell them that they're great. All the time. Aside from them saying that they're great, you need to be able to say yes, you are, along with it. So we're talking about that tonight. Where I see some people are logging in. We're talking about the three stooges of a relationship that won't leave you laughing. And again, it's open mic. All of your mics are open. So if you have a question or you have something to say, just chime in, and we're here. Or even if you just, you know, want to tag on something at the end of a comment that someone else is saying. You can use your real name, you can use a fake name, and you can give us your area code and the last four digits of your number. The floor is open.
Let's talk about the
chameleon. Yes. Hello?
Hello, this is Patrice. I just had a question based on what you guys were talking about just a moment ago. In your opinion, do you think narcissistic people realize that they are that way?
Do they realize that they only consider themselves that they're only dealing? I think they understand that they're that way. They just don't think that there's anything wrong with it. There's no way you could continue to do something over and over and over and over again and not realize that you're doing it. It's just that you either think it's okay or it has become so natural to you that, you know, you don't notice or recognize it. But when you first started doing it, you recognize that you never allowed, you never questioned anyone about anything that was going on with their lives. You just sat and talked about yourself all the time, in my opinion. Anyone else have another opinion?
Well, pretty much what you said. You know, they know what they're doing, but they think they're right in what they're doing. Even whether they say things to belittle you or make you feel, upset or, you know what I'm saying, not appreciated, whatever the case may be, because a lot of times it's all about to make themselves feel superior, you know, better than or whatever. They know what they're doing. You know, I'm not going to say they don't know what they're doing. It's just that they think that they have a right to do it. They have a right to say it because, well, you made me, say it, because if you wouldn't do this, then I wouldn't do that. If you wouldn't say this, then I wouldn't have to, you know, whatever. They have a way of justifying everything, you know, and it's almost like the least you say, it's not even the better off you'll be, because you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. If you say something, you know, there's a problem with what's said. If you don't say nothing, oh, we got a problem, you can't communicate. You know what I'm saying? It's always something.
Okay.
Usually it's some type of whatever it is, it always goes into some form of argument or, you know, or whatever the case may be. But it's all about to see how smart I am and see how, you know, silly you sound, you know, or they have a hard time apologizing, very hard time apologizing. And usually they don't apologize. If they do, it's just for the record to say, you know, well, see, I apologize. But there's no meaning behind it. There's no remorse behind it. There's nothing behind it because, you know, these people just think that, you know, everything, you know, revolves around them, you know, and very little about you.
Right. Let's take a social setting, for instance, to kind of give an example of what we mean by the behavior that they have. Because sometimes people think that people who engage in a lot of conversation in social settings, they believe that's narcissistic or that's showing off or whatever. But if there is a question that is put out, openly put out, you're sitting around, you're having a gathering or something, and everyone's sitting around talking, and they answer the question, that's not narcissism. That's them participating in a question that has been put out and open or into a discussion. A narcissist will just break out without any prodding with talking about themselves, just out of nowhere, in the middle of nothingness. You know, you could be sitting at the table talking about something totally different, and then they will interrupt the conversation that is engaging everyone to simply talk about themselves and what they're doing and where they're going and who they are and how much of a mover, shaker, and groundbreaker they are, and no one was even talking about that. And if you try to direct the question back to everyone else, they will once again turn that whole atmosphere around being about them. And if it can't be, then they won't sit there. They will move on to something or somewhere where they can be the center of attention. That's what they thrive on. That's what they live on. That's what makes them tick. And they know they're doing it because they're consciously finding opportunities to be able to present themselves in any situation. I hope that kind of gave you an answer. Anyone else have anything to say on that out there? Let's talk a little bit about the chameleon, and I know a lot of people may run into this behavior, where you're in a relationship with someone and they're one way in a relationship at home with you, and you go out somewhere and they get with their friends, and whatever that dominant friend is like, then all of a sudden they turn into that person while you're out, and until they can rein themselves back in and start mimicking someone else or something else, you know, you're stuck with that. And then you get home and you start talking about that behavior, and then they may even mimic you and your behavior at that point in time because they don't have a set behavior of their own. But what's So disturbing at that whole concept is the fact that you never really know who you're going to get from one moment to the next. You could be watching a movie and they'll take on the persona of a character in the movie if they just haven't figured out who they are as of yet, and that can lead to a lot of stressful situations depending on who they have in their lives and who they're mimicking. And whether it's something positive or something negative that is being done. Janet and A. Michelle? Have you guys ever run into a chameleon?
Yeah, I have. But I didn't really see a huge problem. I guess I wouldn't really say it was a chameleon or whatever, but I think it's almost like the saying goes, when in Rome, you do what the Romans do. Maybe you're not such a really an outgoing person, but maybe they, you know, you go to an event or something is going on that causes you to be a little bit more forward. Considering the setting and whatever the case may be. And a person may not be like that all of the time. It's just that the group of people that you're around, and maybe it's a game or something that you're playing, or whatever that's causing you to come out of yourself, you know. And I think I just call that adaptation, to where you just adapting to your surroundings at that point in time. Doesn't mean that's who you are, what you do. It's like, you know, adjusting, so to speak. But as far as me, myself, I've been in situations to where I had to adapt also in certain settings or whatever. I'm going to always be myself regardless, because I've been in certain places to where people in themselves, it made me so confused that, I mean, I felt like a chameleon in a bag of Skittles. So I'm like, I ain't even know what to, you know, portray or whatever. I'm going to always be myself. But as far as other people, I think you would just know. You know, it wouldn't be just one event or one happening or whatever. I can't really say that I've, unless you want to say, some people call it two-faced. Yeah, when she get around her cousins and them or her family, you know, she act this way. But then when she come back home, she's totally different. She don't act like that. But then when she's at, you know, work, you know, she's a whole nother. And I think it just really depends on the setting, where you are or whatever. And so, yeah.
Well, I counseled a couple once, and I had to pick up the wife to help her get to a shelter. Her husband had a friend who was, you know, you would never know he was an abuser, but he was, and he was a horrible abuser. And so he told her husband, my client's husband, that, you know, the night before, when he got mad at his wife, he took a belt, put it around her neck, and put the longer part over the side of the door and pulled until she did what he wanted, or until she said she was going to do what it is that he wanted her to do. So what brought them to me was, so him hearing that his friend had done that, he tried the same thing with his wife when he got upset with her. So he put a belt around her neck. She stepped out of the shower. He put a belt around her neck and went to the other side of the door and pulled. And when she begged him to let it go down, he then held a gun and said, "Now, I won't have to tell you this again, will I?" But it wasn't something that he had ever done before, but his friend had done it and said that was perfectly fine, and he made it seem like that was something to be emulated, and he did the same thing. Now, many people will say, well, he's a grown man and nobody made him do that, but he doesn't have a personality of his own that he thinks is worthy. He hasn't come into his own manhood, and his self-esteem is low and his self-worth is low. So he thought what that guy did made him a big man. So he followed suit in that same thing.
I'm not going to hurt my baby on no stupid stuff like that. But I'm just saying. You have people,
but
that
it doesn't
do
have
stuff
to be that drastic. But, for instance, I hear it all the time. Men calling women out of their names. Women calling women out of their names. You know, that those things aren't terms of endearment. A B-I-T-C-H is not a term of endearment. That thought over there is not a term of endearment. But they do it. And when they all get together, they all say it. They want to get home and say, "I love you, baby, and you know you're my baby." But when you were out in public with me, whatever color was on in the room, that's the color you turned. And so now I'm afraid to go out with you because I don't know who you're going to turn into. Any statements out there? I want to hear something from the callers.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Okay. I guess I give the last four numbers of my number, 5816.
Okay.
Cheyenne. My question is this. The people who become involved with these types, this Larry Moe, you know, Curly, and this, the Three Stooges, there's nothing, they don't have any responsibility in being able to pick up that something about that person isn't quite right. I mean, we're not talking about you just passing someone on the street. We're talking about you're investing time, energy, you know, yourself into someone. There's nothing about who they are, who they actually are. There are no clues that they, I mean, I'm asking this, not saying that you all can answer, but it would just seem that people, who a person really is, regardless of how well they try to hide it, they leave some type of clue. So the person who becomes involved with someone like this and ends up abused or feeling neglected or misused and mistreated, they're holding no responsibility. They can say that they, without certainty, that there was nothing in that person's behavior prior to their getting involved that they could see that would tell them this is who they would end up actually being with. Or was it that they just wanted to impose their what they wanted to see in that person as being the truth about it? I'm just asking that because I've had relationships with probably one of all three and probably been one of all three at some point in my life. Or, you know, one of the three behaved in that manner at some point in my life. But anyone who was involved in me, I've always been someone who said, I will tell you who I am. I'm going to tell you. I might just outright tell you. And sometimes but there'll be clues. If something that should ring, like either not quite on point or something that could just say this is not true, this can't be true. So, like I said, I'm going to mute myself out just in case the dogs start barking, but I wanted to say that.
Okay, that would be okay. Barking dog is okay. I would say that there is no 100% fault in anything. And that we do play roles in some way, shape, form, or fashion in our relationships. How much of it belongs to any given person can vary. There are times when people will see certain behaviors and overlook it or see certain behaviors and say that the person is going to change, you know, or just give them a little time to feel a little comfortable, a little bit more comfortable, and they're going to change that behavior. Or the person may indeed in turn and say, you know, I'm sorry and I'll never do it again, and then turn around and do it again. So, yes, sometimes you see it. Sometimes people, there are a multitude of reasons why people stay in relationships with people like that. Some of them are suffering from low self-esteem and low self-worth also. They're just happy to be in a relationship. Whether it's negative or positive love, they just want to have a loving experience. They may not even know or realize that it's something that is harmful to them. They're just suffering. They're just losing hair and breaking out in hives and going into depressions and cutting themselves and taking pills and doing, you know, drinking and doing all of those kinds of things to help them cope with the situation that they're in, because they either don't know how to get out of it or they're afraid to get out of it, because to them something is better than having nothing at all. Yes, they see it. Sometimes they just don't know how to get out of it, or they think the person will do self-correction. If I tell you, I'm hoping that you'll do self-correction, is what some of them will tell you. And there are some extremely intelligent women that are in these situations. They're just saying, I told you, it bothers me, and I'm hoping that you'll get self-correction. And they're waiting for that self-correction, because sometimes we live in more hope for the people that we love than they have for themselves. I'll turn that over and let other people. I hope I answered you partially. That's just my opinion. And that was me, Minister Dupree Aldridge. Anyone else, any of the other co-hosts have anything they want to add to that or contradict? Did we answer your question?
Oh, yeah. I'd have to say that you all did. I hear folks sometimes not taking responsibility for the things that happen in their own lives. And relationships, especially because it's relationships. It's not a monologue. It should be dialogue between two people, and it should be action between the two. So I just wondered, and in particular with black women, and saying this, coming from a poor, working class neighborhood as a kid, I would see the women deal with a lot of things, or like you say, the hope that someone will change, or this person will change, and sometimes I wonder if that's not arrogance on the part of that person as well, on the part of the one who ends up feeling victimized, if that's not a form of arrogance for them to expect someone to change just because you entered their life. Just another question, but thank y'all. Y'all did it. Y'all did answer. Thanks a lot.
No problem. To that arrogance part, since you put that out as another question, I would put this out to you, and then you can throw something back at me on that. This is Minister Dufrialris. I would say that women, for the most part, are socialized as caretakers. We are socialized by society to be caretakers. And if you buy into that caretaking role fully, then you will live in hope with that, and you will actually kind of support the behavior, because always in the back of your mind is that in some way, in some time, it'll all get together. If I could just keep loving them enough, they'll change. If I can just keep loving them enough, they'll see the error in their ways. If I could just keep loving them enough, because that's what a caretaker, that's what a parent does, that's what a mother does. And we're trained to be caretakers. That's why we will help even when we're bitten. We'll wrap up that wound and then turn around and help again, because it's just the way we're socialized. Now, not all of us bought into that whole concept and notion. Some of us learned early that if you put your hand near heat, you don't have to stick it in the fire. You know it's going to burn you. But not all of us are strong enough to stand up against societal norms. And societal norms say that we're supposed to excuse certain behaviors and overlook it and work at trying to make it better. That's a part of us being nurturers.
I can honestly say I can see where, as an individual and as a woman, that was kind of, I guess, my unwoman feeling. I don't have that natural nurturing ability. I mean, I see it as kind of a weakness in me because I am a woman, but it's not my nature to be, that's not my first feeling or emotion. I'm even with having a son and loving him to death, I guess I don't feel that way. Maybe because of my upbringing, but I just, I would just say that after a while that I would feel like I'm imposing who I want them to be. I'm trying to impose that or impress that on them or imprint it, and it's just not going to happen. If they're just going to be a jerk or whatever, they're just going to be the jerk, and I guess I would have to walk away. It'd be hard, but it's what I would do. Again, thank you. You answered my question.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you. Thank you for your input. Thank you.
I would like to speak a bit on the leaving and how easy or hard it is to leave, because you mentioned that some people stay because of low self-esteem. Some people stay because they don't know what else to do because it's expected of them. I stayed with someone for a long time out of fear that I wouldn't find anybody else, because I saw partners fighting and, cursing each other out. We didn't have that, but we didn't have anything. And I have a question for you, too. I just wanted to speak on that. Everybody that stays isn't waiting for change. Some people just, maybe need counseling to feel better about themselves so that they can be strong enough to just pick up a bag and pack it and walk out. I wasn't strong enough back then.
Right.
Okay.
I did add in there that some people don't want to strike off on their own. They're afraid to be by themselves, so they may settle in that situation because, you know, something beats nothing. And so I do appreciate.
I'm agreeing with you. I was letting the other caller maybe get the understanding that it's not necessarily waiting for someone to change or hoping someone to change. It could just be we don't know what else to do but stay at that time. And then I had another quick question about narcissists and chameleons. My narcissist and chameleon didn't appear to be like that in the beginning. Can they change later on? I mean, I swear to you, some people died in her family, and then she got this new best friend that's a narcissist, and she came home one day a different person.
Then she could have potentially have been a chameleon. You know,
I do believe
like
that.
You said, she came home a different person. Prior to that, she may have had other examples that were going on. That, let me say this, a lot of times people, we say that you should have been able to see the flags. These are all of the things
mm-hmm.
people on the outside will say to you. You should have been able
mm-hmm.
to see the flags. They'll say, why did you stay? You know, there'll be a million and one things they'll say that in hindsight everybody gets. But in reality and in real time, most people don't date for very long periods of time. And then when they're dating, they don't always see the person who they're going to get in the end. See, because the person will take you out on a date and you're together maybe 2 to 4 hours. You'll spend time together. A person can pretend for 2 to 4 hours without tipping their head. Over and over and over and over and over again with you. They can do that.
Mm.
Some people can go for long periods of time without tipping their hand. And then something will trigger their true self, and once it's exposed, it's exposed. And depending on how you react to it when you see it the first time will dictate whether or not they remain that way or they'll pull it back in.
Okay, I understand. This was a 14-year relationship, so I had to be very blind. But once she met her narcissistic best friend, hers came out. But she had shown me the chameleon before, but just not such a horrible narcissistic person. But she showed me the chameleon before because when we were alone, we were like two really good friends. That's all we were. And I discussed this with her about we're not really, you know, in a relationship, we act like two friends. When people would come around, oh, my gosh, she had her arms all around me and everybody wanted to be like us, not knowing that what she was doing was fake. So I saw the chameleon, but the narcissist, I just didn't see the ugly until later, the rest of the ugly.
I don't want, and when we're talking about this, we're never, ever, I want to say this, and my co-host will back it up, we're never, ever, ever giving you things to go back and beat yourself up with because, you know, if you didn't see it, you didn't see it. And I'm sure from that point on, you probably took a closer look at what was going on. We do this every Thursday so that we give an opportunity for people to be able to vent out those things, to be able to have a dialogue and get other ideas or get affirmation on some of the things that are going on so they can move to the next step. May that be therapy or their own place or whatever that next step is for them. This is a support system, and we don't come on to beat you up. You know, so I don't want you to say to you, well, I didn't see it. And by the same token, I'll say to the narcissist, you know, I understand that you can't control it all the time and you have to work really hard. If it's something that you want to change and to stop, that you're going to have to work very hard at it because like a drug addict has their drug and an alcoholic has their liquor, a narcissist has their attention and they're addicted to it.
I did not feel beat up. I did not feel like I don't feel bad. That's been over 15 years, but I just want to comment on that. I don't feel bad or like I should have known something. I just wondered if people could just suddenly change, or if I didn't see it, it's still okay because she's been gone.
Well, you know, the change is never sudden. We all have things in us. We all have ugly in us. We all have it. It's just, it depends on how life goes and what happens in our lives as to whether or not our partners ever really see it. You know, we all have two parts of ourselves. We all do. Just sometimes some of us have better control at keeping that ugliness away, locking that ugliness in a tower and throwing away the key. Some of us are just better at it, and then some of us just don't care. We throw the door open. We don't care because, you know, that's just a part of our personality. I don't care if you love me. Like I see mimes all the time that says, if you can't love me at my worst, then, you know, I won't need you when I'm at my best.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can I get some of your best in that worst? So you're trying to tell me when all of the stars line up and the moon is in the right place and the sky and the earth is divided properly and all of that stuff and everything aligns for you and life is the way you want it, that's the only time you're going to show me your best? Because, see, that's how I interpret that.
Right.
Because I want you to mix it up a little.
Right.
So I hope we're giving you what you need. Ladies, anybody else have any questions? Did we answer your question, sweetheart?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for participating. Anyone else out there have any questions, anything that they might want to say? So I'm going to throw this out to my co-host. So let's talk about some of the people who keep changing. We live in a society where labels mean everything to almost everybody. Whereas they may not want to have one thing labeled, they'll embrace the labeling of something else. So when you're dating, and it doesn't matter what walk of life you're walking in your dating. When you're dating, everyone likes to have an idea as to who they're dating. And so when you are in a relationship with someone who tells you that I'm a loving, understanding, giving person, and then you get into that relationship with them, and as time goes, you see not loving, you see not giving, you see none of what they said they were. But they continue to, as the young lady who just spoke, try to perpetrate that they are those things, or they may even come up with something else that they are. Let's talk about how you, the individual that's in a relationship with them, if you intend to remain in that relationship, how you can deal with that type of behavior, or the other side of that, how you can recognize the behavior quicker and make some decisions as to how you want to move out of that. So, is Sky here yet? Amy Shell, let me hear a little bit from you guys. And Janet, also you. I don't care which order you guys go in. Okay, well, I'll stop calling out names, Janet.
My thought is running away from me. But I'm sorry, I heard everything you said, and all of a sudden I get ready to say that my thought just totally just like went in another direction, but so I'm kind of like dumbfounded right now. That last part that you said about, what was that? The
to where they tend to, they not even that they send a representative, because they don't have a representative to send. You know, they got so many representatives, you're never getting a representative. You're just getting multiple people in situations. Mm-hmm. But they tell you that they are one thing, and as time goes on, you start to see that they are multiple things, but none of what it was that they said that they were. And how we can either recognize things earlier, or how if you just love the person, and we run into those cases too. You just love them, and you're looking for ways to cope with the behavior. So we're looking to give some coping mechanisms or avenues of how to get yourself past it and how to recognize it earlier so you don't get into it.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, in the very, very beginning, I think most people, you know, I don't really always see people at face value. I don't care who they are. Preachers, teachers, evangelists, bishops, apostles, you know, school teachers, whatever. People present themselves to you as they want to be seen. When you're dating somebody or you're getting to know someone, you know, it's the same thing. You know, usually the best foot is put forward or whatever. So, okay, I go through it. I take my time, and I be patient, and I be, you know, whatever. I don't look at people to be perfect. Number one, that's the first thing. And as long as I say, well, I know there's another side or other things going on with the individual that maybe they don't quite want me to see right now, because nobody ever put, you know, the naked, you know, rawness of who they are up front, because sometimes they don't want to scare people off, and they may not even be accepted. But once you see that at least they have a decent side to them, you know, they can kind of like, you know, balance it. So I really don't look for things, to be honest with you, because too much in the beginning, you're not going to find them. But as time goes on, you know, little bit by little bit begins to show of a person's personality, of a person's the way they think. You'll know if the person is really a compassionate person, if they have a heart, if they're heartless. I mean, some things you just, as you grow into knowing a person, some things you will know. You're not going to know everything off the first 2 or 3 days that you've been talking to them, you know. But my thing is taking a time out, and that's why I say, and as we always talk about, dating is very important. Dating a person is very important, getting to know that person. You know, I say between, in a matter of the first 3 months of a relationship or getting to know a person, 3 to 6 months, but I say really in the first 3 months, you know, you pretty much done seen a different, diverse side of that individual to pretty much to confirm or to let you know if this somebody that I want to talk to or continue dating, because I've been seeing some stuff that I don't know if I can deal with. You're not, nobody can be the same way for a long period of time. As you were saying before, 3-4 hours or whatever, the real them is going to show, going to come out or whatever. You know, getting to know somebody, you can go past out for a few weeks or even a month or so or whatever, but at some point the real them is going to show. You have to ask yourself, is that something that I can deal with? Everybody has different sides. I don't care who they are. If you're human, you have more than one side to you. You have a way that you are when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're excited, when you're grieving, when you're hurt. You have all these sides to you, but you cannot say, well, before when I first met her, she was all happy and this and that and the other. Now something happened and she's sad. You can't judge her on that. That's a part of our emotion. We all going to experience some things. It's how we deal with those things is what we should look at. Is she dealing with that thing on a suicidal note? Is she dealing with the sadness and her grief on a level of, you know, yes, this is hurtful. This is really, you know, whatever. I know I'm going to get through this or whatever. It's going to take some time, but baby, I'm hurting or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's all about, I look at how a person deal with things in every aspect of their life. every emotion. I look at how they deal with it, not the fact that they're going through it, because we all go through those different channels and we're going to experience it. I can't get mad or say, see, I knew, you know, I'm not going to get mad and say the real you is showing. I can't say that when something really happened in their life that really, really took them all the way there, because we all have things that happened to us in our life that we came out of our character. We cannot say, oh, now that's the real you. Yes, that's part of the real me. Make me mad and I'll show you. But also the loving side of me is part of the real me also. And I think it's, I don't like to judge people. I really don't. I'm not a judgmental person. I try to look at people through the lenses of the glass that they're looking out of. It's not fair to me to look at things out of Janet, you know, out of my perspective, because I'm not seeing the bigger picture. Which is why I allow people, I give people room to grow. I give people room to make mistakes and to hurt and to cut somebody out and to whatever. It's all a part of a process. Does that mean that they're evil, vindictive, mean asshole? No, not necessarily. Excuse me for saying that word. But I'm just saying sometimes we have to be real with ourselves and stop expecting people to be, you know, this person, that this image of glory, that they don't do no wrong. We cannot do that. That's not being realistic. So if I'm going to love a person, I'm going to love them from every aspect, when they're hurting, when they're angry, when they're pissed off, when they're cussing out people or whatever. That's the place that they're in at that moment. Now, if they like that all the time, 24/7, every day, 365 days out of the year, then that's a problem. That's a problem.
Okay. Hey, Michelle? Hello? Did she get kicked out?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Okay, so my take on that is that I'm going to give some of the things that happen when we first start dating that we should look for and look at for flags and everything, because sometimes our idea of dating is going to dinner, asking what we consider the questions that we need to know with regard to their work life, their finances, their home, whether they have one or not, their car, whether they have one or not, where do you see yourself in 5 years, what are your aspirations, all that stuff. And that's what most people want to talk about when they go on a date. None of that is going to show you who that person is. That's going to tell you what that person desires and what that person wants. It has absolutely nothing to do with who that person is. But if you're with that person and you see that person blow up over about nothing, then you know that that person has a short fuse. And they don't just have a short fuse with whomever they did it with. They have a short fuse. That's not judging them. That's discerning what is happening with the person that you're with. And people show you themselves if it isn't anything more than a glimmer or a quick peek. They'll show you. And we're going to go over a little, if you, I understand if you have to go, but I do want to give some information here that we were talking about. And they'll show you. So you have to take heed. You don't have to make full judgment at that moment, because judging is not a bad thing if you're basing it on real information. When you just decide someone is something without getting to know them and all of that stuff, that's judging. That's you making up something about the person. But we're talking about having identified something that's real, that's tangible, not only you see, that other people see also. That's discernment, and you need to discern who you're going to have in the closest aspects of your life. So I don't say this. I think judging is wrong, but I think discernment is a good thing. And so you need to take time, and you need to take your time, and you need to ask something more than those material types of questions. You need to get yourself involved in their psyche. You need to start asking questions that will probe who the person is psychologically that you're dealing with. You know, you can't then say they tricked you because you didn't ask any of those things. You didn't. That wasn't important. What was important was, I hate, when I was on the dating scene, I hated people asking me within the first couple of dates what was my sexual preference and what I liked and what I didn't like in bed. Why? You don't even know who I am, and you're asking me those questions. You don't care who I am because you went straight to that. So you have to ask questions that's going to let you know who that person is. And when they tell you who they are, and then they show you who they are, believe them. Some people will tell you. There are some people who are so honest about who they are and so true to themselves that they will tell you. They will tell you, I am an asshole. And they really are. There are people who will tell you that I am so driven by my career, I really don't have time for anything. But if you want a date, we can try it out. But they've already told you that their career is going to be number one. They told you that. So we have to, sometimes the Stooges, see, the Stooges never hid anything that they were doing. The Stooges, that's what's so weird about the Stooges, because that was some crazy, that was black and dark comedy. They poked one another in the eyes, and they thought that was funny behavior. They hit one another in the head. They were abusive, and they thought that was comedy. So they don't think any of that stuff is a problem. So you have to be able to recognize for you what is and what isn't a problem. And then you can communicate that. I'm a little troubled by something here. I happen to see you do XYZ, I just want to know if this is a regular occurrence. Sometimes they'll say I was having a bad day. Is anyone still on the line?
Yes.
Okay. They'll say I'm having a bad day or things like that, and you know that it hasn't been a regular kind of thing. So that's something you can overlook, and that's the stuff that Jan is talking about. They're not doing it all the time. Then that was a bad day. You don't charge that to their head, not their heart. But when someone continuously does something over and over and over and over again, then that's them. That's them. That's them, and that's who they are. And it's up to you as to whether or not you can deal with it or not, because we act like we don't have options in relationships, and we do. It's more ship than relation, or more ship than friend. Whatever it is that's in front of the ship is not what the body of it is, because the ship is the part that holds. The ship is the thing that's going to be filling. The ship is the thing that's going to be navigating. So you have to work more on the ship part of that word than what's coming in the front of that word, because that's the easy part. People use the term friend, they just met somebody and tomorrow they say, that's my friend, that's my sister. But the ship part of it never gets any work. It doesn't get any work. So you have to do more work in that ship,
that you're in. You can't be lazy about it. It doesn't work on its own. You have really got to put some stuff into it. And so one of the other things you can do is seek some counseling. And once you seek counseling, see how that goes and see if it's something that they can help work through. Always have a backup plan and a backup bag, I call it. Always have a backpack with those important items that you need in case you have to have a fast getaway. And you just pick up that bag and worry about that other stuff later.
No, I'm just kidding.
For those people who are going to stay because they love the person and they believe in allowing people to be their authentic selves, you still have to protect your energy, protect your spirit, and protect your peace of mind. So there are mechanisms that you need to use in order to protect yourself. And sometimes that means going to a different area of the house. You may even need to go and get a hotel or stay with friends for a couple of days to give some space. Because absorbing that much negativity is not healthy and it's not good for you. When you see it starting to take a toll on your health, once again, if need be, you get yourself some therapy or find a counselor you can speak with or find a friend who can be impartial or a minister or, whomever you feel comfortable with and talk this out. You're not looking for them to solve anything. And then sometimes meditation is extremely good for you. Where you sit down and you listen to that small voice inside, that gives you some good stuff. That voice inside of you will give you some good stuff if you just listen. I want to thank everyone for dialing in tonight. Before I close this out, does anyone have anything they'd like to say before we end it for tonight?
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the talk.
Well, thank you and welcome. If this was your first night, and please return and bring a friend along with you.
All right.
Anyone else out there?
I would just like to say that I call often and I do appreciate what you say and what your co-host say.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you for dialing in to listen to the Three Stooges of a relationship that won't leave you laughing. We wanted to say that this is life, love in full enlightenment, and what we're trying to do is show you that love does not hurt. It's people that are giving love a bad rep and doing all of the hurting. We welcome you here every Thursday. We're here. We will give an advance notice of when we're not going to be here, but more than likely we're here most Thursdays at the same time, same number. Dial in, tell your friends. If you have a topic you'd like to talk about, you can hit me on Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment, Janet Hurd. You can hit A. Michelle Grogan on her page, or you can hit Sky Vaughn, who got caught up with some clients tonight and wasn't able to make it in with us tonight. But other than that, thank you for calling in. It is always a pleasure hearing what you have to say, getting your questions. And it's all about love, and we just love loving love. You guys have a great night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Trying to kill this on purpose. Boy, I really wish you could. Well, act like you never heard this. I know you haven't been so before. ahead